Hi, I'm Bella Gandhi, founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host of this beautiful podcast. We're here to bring more love into your life, regardless of if you're single, if you're married, if you're thinking about becoming single, if you're thinking about becoming married or finding the lid to your pot. And we're going to bring more life into that love that you have or you want. You might have seen me on Good Morning America or Steve Harvey or the Today Show or 100 other places, but I'm so happy that you are here with us because we're going to make your life and your love better. Smart daters, welcome back to this week's podcast. With no further ado, I'm going to tell you that this is a love story of love stories. And I have with me today someone I know and love and who was a client of Smart Dating Academy and is here to share with you her unbelievable story of finding love again. I'm happy to have Teresa, who is now in her 60s, who lives in the Midwest and is the dean of a large business school that is online. Teresa, I could not be more excited to have you on the podcast to tell your story today. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Bella, and I was excited to join. I think that there's a lot of people out there that could really take advantage of Smart Dating Academy and really find the life that they really deserve.
And you certainly did. Well, let's jump right in, Teresa. Tell us your story of your marriage. You were married, and then what happened? And then we'll just kind of go through this, you know, step by step.
So I was married for 22 years to the love of my life. He was amazing, but I found myself a widow at 48. He died unexpectedly of a heart attack, and I was devastated.
Oh my gosh, you were so young. And how old was he when he passed?
He was older than me. He was 20 years older. Okay. So, but still, it was like, I can't even explain it. I've always been an old soul anyway. He was just like my soulmate. Literally, when they say soulmates, he was my soulmate. And I was just so devastated by it that I didn't think I'd ever could go on again. I really didn't. And so I went 10 and a half years, and it got to be March of 2018. And a very good friend of mine who lives in Chicago, Anita, she is my very, very special friend. But she said to me, she goes, Teresa, you are way too young to live alone. You got a lot of life in you. You got a lot going for you. She goes, I'm going to challenge you to go on a dating site for 6 months. And she goes, and you will go on dates and try it just for 6 months.
Go, Anita. Anita was speaking truth to power. Like, girl, she are too young, too cute, too all of the things. You're not done.
Well, I thought I was. In my heart, I thought I was. I really did. I had shut off everything. But what I really didn't realize in shutting that part of me off, I was shutting off a lot of other things. And you don't realize this until you come through to the other side and you realize, oh my gosh, I was really limiting myself and my experience on what could happen to me in my lifetime, my quality. But so I did it. I did it. And I spent from March till about August trying to date. I went on match.com and I was not meeting the right kind of people. I mean, I went on a lot of dates. I did. I thought, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to jump in. I don't do anything halfway.
Right. You're a go big or go home person.
I am. I'm like, okay, so I'm going to do this thing. So I went out and I dated a lot of guys. I met them. I gave them everybody. I really gave them an honest chance, but there were just, I don't know. It was just bizarre. And then you kind of like, okay, you know, what do you want? Where are you? I never really sat down and thought about those things. And that's why I decided there's got to be a better way, right?
Well, and let me ask you this, Teresa. You said you were with your soulmate. Like you, and for those 10 years in between, what were the messages that you told yourself? Like, I had the love of my life. So now I'm done. I'll never find somebody as good. Like, I'm curious through that 10 years, obviously grief is ocean waves of grief that come and go, and they never go away, and you never get over a loss, right? No. You go on despite the loss. So what were the things you were telling yourself for the for that decade?
I just said, you know, I'm almost 50, and then I got into my 50s, and I'm just kind of like, I'm just too old for this stuff, and my heart felt broken because I just felt like I could never find anybody that I would have that good of a relationship with again. And I just thought, well, this is where I am. I'm just gonna have to settle for this. I'm a single now. I'm never gonna be different. And I just kind of got in that, you get in a rut. You get in a daily rut of after a few years that, okay, this is okay. You tell yourself it's okay. You keep telling yourself it's okay because you did your thing. You had your great relationship, your great love, and that was it. But then in the meantime, while you're telling yourself those things, you're shutting down those emotions. You're also shutting down a lot of opportunities for other joy.
Yeah.
And I did not realize that. I really did not realize that until I got back out there again and started dating. But the dating process, I was not going about it correctly. Let's just put it that way.
And what were you doing? Were you just, do you feel like you were sharing too much? Or how, like those first 6 months of dating, what happened that wasn't going well? Were you not getting the second dates, or were they just weird guys? Like, what were you seeing?
I think a lot of the problem was I was a widow, so that was on my profile, right? And I felt like I was kind of like bait for a lot of these weirdos or a lot of people that were just, you know, wanted to say, oh, well, she's been a widow, you know, they just wanted to get you into bed right away. I wasn't for that. You know, I wanted to actually meet somebody to have a relationship.
Yeah.
And the people I were meeting were not relationship type material. Let's just put it that way.
Okay, got it.
And now you can tell that. You can just tell by their behaviors they were not relationship type folks.
Right. And you just feel like you're spinning your wheels.
I did. I'm like, it's the same thing week after week, same thing, same process, you know, same whatever. And I thought this is just one thing I can say is at first I thought I needed to meet them just like right away because I want to make sure they were real or whatever. Because I did go through a bad experience. I did have somebody reach out, and this was through Match. I did have some people reach out to me and they were trying to get money. And I had to report it to the FBI. It got so serious, I had to report it to the FBI. It got that serious. And they tried to ask me for $34,000. And when I refused it, then they started calling me all these names and threatening me and everything. And I got their account shut off through Match.com. So that kind of scared me too.
Of course. That's really
traumatizing. I was like
freaked
out by that. That happened like 3 weeks before I came to you guys. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is just like so scary too.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I didn't realize that escalated all the way up to the FBI. Unbelievable.
And they came back and told me that it was a group in China that were trying to get money for a terrorist.
Oh.
And I'm just like, whoa.
Oh, my gosh. You're already been through something horrible. And now you're online and you see stuff like that. Like, it's... I commend you for your go big or go home personality. You're like, you know what? These Chinese terrorists aren't going to get me down. I'm going to keep doing. And then what happened at that point?
I just kept thinking there's got to be a better. And I think I saw you on Good Morning America.
Oh, okay.
I saw it was either a replay or you were on there. And I thought, you know what? I said, and they're in Chicago. That was the other thing. I said, okay, you're in Chicago. I could drive there. And I was very, I don't know, it was, I'm a person that I'm not afraid to pay for services. I'm not afraid to ask for help if I'm not doing well in a certain area.
Sure.
And I thought, I don't even know what the rules of the games are anymore. I don't even know what it is out there. So I thought, I am going to go and meet these people and I'm going to find out about this service. And I'm going to find out what am I doing wrong? And what's a process? Because I'm a process person, right? You know, that's what I set up every day in my job. And I thought, I just got to find a better way.
Okay, so you see me on GMA, you write in to us, and we talk. And I remember our conversation. I'm like, wow, she's funny and smart as a whip, and let's do this. So we decide you're going to become a client of Smart Dating Academy. And then you come to Chicago. Now tell us what happens.
So I come to Chicago, and I was like really excited, and I got hopeful again because I'm like, okay, I'm going to find a way to do things, and I'm this is going to be hopeful, and something's going to work, right? Either it will or it won't, but at least I'm going to give it a chance. So, and I met with you guys. I met with you and Lindsay, and I just loved you guys right away. You were so warm, and you made me feel accepted. That was a big thing for me, because I'm just going to be honest. I mean, I'm not very thin. I'm not a size 8. And I was older, and I thought that I just couldn't be in the dating community at all or whatever. Maybe that was part of the problem. But no, you guys made me feel very accepted. And I love that about you guys. So thank you for that. Oh. And then you actually listened to me and asked me what I wanted and what were my goals. That was another big thing, because everybody else wanted to give you this down and dirty system and say this is that, but they didn't care about who you were. It was like kind of like a one size fits all. But you guys weren't like that. We actually talked through some of the things that maybe, you know, maybe there could be some underlying issues there or whatever, things I needed to address first or whatever. And then going through the marriage map process. That for me is gold. I still get that out and look at that every once in a while.
Oh, I'm so right. You're like, am I with the right person?
Yeah. I'm like, did I do this right? No, you know, seriously. But you look at it, it's like, oh yeah, now I see why I went through that whole list. And it really, I don't think there's enough measure to be said to anyone out there that's listening. You need to write it down. What do you really value? What is work going to work for you? What are you seeking? And then that doesn't mean that you're going to get everything on that list, but at least the things that you are your deal breakers, you're going to have that list. You're going to be able to look at it and say, is this going to work for me or not? And that's perfectly okay to say whether it's going to work for you or not. I think sometimes as women, especially older women, we get into a rut and we try to do more of just accept whoever accepts us.
Right. I'm going
to
like
that is not the way to do things. You know what I mean? That is not the way to do it at all. And you've got rights, and you're a person, and you have a lot to offer people still. And you don't realize all that until after, you know, you go through some of these experiences. And I will tell people it's a numbers game. It's totally a numbers game. You got to be willing to stick with it and go through the ups and downs and that sort of thing. And that's okay, because look at it this way. Look at how many people are on the face. I looked at it this way. How many people are on the face of this earth, right?
7 billion-ish.
Yes. And what are the odds that, like, you're going to meet the very first person you meet is going to be a person that's going to work for you, right?
Zero.
I went on something like over 30 some dates total.
Okay, let me say, okay, so we meet you, we do the marriage map process, we teach you about red flags, we teach you about how we were going to pace your dating funnel, right? Who right. gets in, who gets out. And for right. those of you, you know, our program in the beginning, like Teresa's saying, we are listening, we understand what it is that's going to make you happy in a relationship. And we have a series of exercises that then culminate in this contract that you sign with yourself called yes. the marriage map contract. Talked about who it is you're looking for, who's, you know, we call them high GPQ, high and good partner qualities,
right.
and who this person is and what the red flags are that are going to get somebody bounced out of your funnel, and how we're going to pace things slowly and surely. And then you came in and you did a photo shoot the next day.
I loved
it.
If
I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it was amazing. So I stayed overnight. I talked to you guys on one day. I stayed overnight, went to the photo shoot the next day. That was gold. I loved it. The pictures were amazing. And I just want to correct both of them. When I say 30 dates, I went on a lot of dates before I met you guys. I went on just a ton of dates. But then afterwards, I started implementing the process. And then I started talking to them more and conversing with them more back and forth with the app first. And just getting a good feel for who they were before I ever even decided to meet them.
Good. And that's so game changing, isn't it?
It was game changing. And it made you feel less... I mean, you're going on all those dates and guys just want to, it's like that trying to get you into bed or whatever. You kind of feel devalued after a while. You're just kind of like, oh, I'm just sick and tired of this. But using this process, I met three people. I went on three dates. I, they actually made it through the funnel. But Curtis was actually the first one, believe it or not, that I met. And then I went on two other dates in between the time that before, because he had to go away with a friend for a week. And then he came back and he said to me, I'll never forget this. When I met in the parking lot, he shook my hand. He didn't try to make a pass or anything. He shook my hand. He said, don't go anywhere. He goes, I really want to, you know, see you again. And he goes, but I got to go with my buddy. We had this pre-planned trip and everything. And I'm like, okay. So I went on a couple more dates in between there, but we just had this connection but we've been talking back and forth through Match for quite some time.
With Curtis. And so you vetted him.
I did. And the other two guys too. But the other two guys were just, you know, when we met in person, the energy wasn't there, because I'm a high energy person, as you can tell.
Totally.
And Curtis had the energy. He was high energy. He was about, hey, let's go do some fun things. I mean, we went on some great dates. I'm not kidding you. A lot of great dates. I mean, like, we went to Eagles concert in Chicago. We went, you know, to see all these different groups and everything. When I first read his profile, he said he went to all these events. I thought, well, that guy doesn't even have time for dating. But the whole thing of it was is that, you know, he wants somebody to go on these events with. So
I love that. And now you were telling me when you showed up on your first date, you were, you know, you looked like a smart dating model. You were beautiful. You were in a dress. You were in heels. And who showed up to meet you? Who's now your husband?
Yes. And Curtis shows up. He had blue jeans on. He did have a nice collared button shirt. But he was a CFO for a manufacturing company. So he shows up and they're casual, right? They're very casual there because it's a manufacturing facility. And he shows up with just, you know, kind of tennis shoes, jeans, you know, and this dress shirt because he came straight from work. And so I was like, okay, well, let's see how this goes, you know, from there. But it turned out great. It really did. And we just got to know each other and just had some really good times together before we ever got to that intimate stage. And that really makes a difference. It really, really does. That really was a game changer. And he was very respectful and willing to take me to, you know, nice places, you know, spend the money, but not overly, because sometimes you can run into some narcissistic kind of guys that are like, oh, want to be all show and whatever. But he wasn't like that at all. Just very down to earth.
And very appropriate. I mean, because I know we didn't want this to go too quickly, because I think one of the most important things that we do process wise, and this is where we're so mismessaged by society and our culture, like there's a 3-date rule, jump right in, get exclusive. If he seems normal, lock it down. And here,
yeah, what people said to me too. And I'm like, no,
no, because that what happens there, dear listeners, is when you rush into things, even if somebody seems amazing in the beginning, you might be dating their representative. You don't know who this person is. If you've been on 3 dates with somebody, let's say you've spent 2 hours, 3 hours with this person, 3 times 3 dates times is 9 hours. That's like Monday at work. Okay. Yeah. You're going to get exclusive with someone after Monday at work. Come on, let's put some ration to this. And so slowing it down and, you know, dating somebody slowly over 3 months really gets you to see, is this person who you think they are? How does this person handle misunderstandings? How do they handle when you're busy? How do they handle things when they're out of town or you're out of town, right? And how, right, do they seem like they're a person that makes you happy like an elevator person does? You remember that exercise we did?
I do.
We looked at the people in your life that made you happiest. So you go out on this first date, you guys meet did you meet for coffee?
No, we went to dinner. Actually, he took me to full dinner. That was the first thing he said. He wanted to take me to dinner. Other guys just wanted to meet for coffee, or, you know, the least amount they could spend, the better, you know, that kind of thing. But no, he said he wanted to meet for dinner and get, you know, talk. And we did. We ended up talking for several hours that first night. And you also, I also watched, because I did travel. So back then I had to go to actually Chicago one week every single month for dean's meetings in person. And he was very attentive when I was gone. You know, he would text me and ask me how my day went, you know, things like that. So I don't know. He was just very respect, and he treated people well. That was the other thing that was a big deal for me. Even if somebody, butted in line in front of him or cut him off or something like that, it just never bothered him. It just never got him, going up so other people may scream and yell or whatever.
Wow, that's yeah, he's pretty unflappable and it's easy. He's got an
Yeah.
easy disposition.
We didn't have to. It wasn't like if you feel so stressed and you can't just have a comfortable conversation, or when you go out together, if you have to put on a whole front and it's just not natural, that's also another warning sign, I think. But it wasn't. It was just very easygoing. I met some of his friends. That was the other thing. I got to meet some of his friends. They were very good people as well. And very respectful people. So that also tells you something about the person, that this is who they have been they've been friends for 40 years. I mean, he has very long-term friends, very good long-term friends. So that was another sign.
That's a great sign. So now, how did you guys decide to become exclusive? And then tell us what happened then.
Well, we had been dating for like 3 months, and I know this is not recommended, so don't take this as a recommendation. But we live in a little bit of a smaller market, but we really enjoyed each other's company. We liked each other, respected each other. We're both professionals and everything. And so we decided to become exclusive. And about a month later, we did move in together. And so, but that may seem quick, but I had dated a lot before that. And I've been following this process, and I'd seen him and screened him and been in a lot of different situations with him. We've been out a lot together. I mean, we went out not just once a week, but we went out 3 or 4 times a week, every single
Yeah,
week.
yeah,
So that's
yeah.
a big difference, because there's a lot of FaceTime there. You're really seeing how this person is. You're getting to know them. I'd met his family already, his sister and his nieces and nephews. He'd met mine, so because we've been in activities and things. So you really get a good feel about who this person is. But we were together for over two, we were together for 2.5 years before we got married, though.
I love that. And so you were living together. And did you guys get a new place or did one of you move into the other
He
space?
moved into my house.
Okay. And how was that for you and how was that for him?
Well, I'm going to tell you guys. Things are, even though you find somebody that you really, really like and you really connect with and everything, there's still these like daily things that you have to adjust to. And I just remember I'd been on a business trip and he was going to move in that week while I was gone and get his stuff in there. I come home and my house is, I've always been, I'm a very organized person. I open up the garage and there's all this stuff in my garage. It's like packed. I go into the kitchen and all of his stuff is all around the kitchen counters because he wasn't sure where to put it or anything. So he left it out on the counters. I'm like, I just know. I bet the look on my face was like, what? I was like, where did this stuff come from?
Okay, and so then you made space and
I
you
did.
figured it
I
out.
made space and we brought things together and everything. And of course, that takes a period of time. But
Yeah.
I just remember that feeling at the first time, like, well, this person's in my space. And I never thought I'd be like that, but I was.
Right, because you'd been on your own now for over a decade, right? And now
Yes.
this is your space. It's not a new space, right? So suddenly
Right.
you're like, wait a second, that's not where that goes. And this
Right.
doesn't go there. And that's a big thing for people on both sides.
It was huge. It was huge. And to make sure that he felt like it was his home too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's times when he still says, well, you got stuff over here or this over here. I said, you can change whatever you want to change. I said, why would I move something unless you tell me you want to change something, But there's things like that. You just go through the transactional side of things that are just as important.
Yeah, that's great. So you got through the integration of living together. And once you got his stuff all settled, how did the relationship blossom?
It's just kind of like, you go through life experiences, right?
Yeah.
We had some experiences with his son. I had some with mine that we had to deal with, things like that. But it's how you work through those things together.
Yeah.
And how you support each other. And it just kind of grows as you have more experiences in life and go through the ups and downs and everything. Because, you know, it's not all been a bed of roses or whatever. There's things that have happened and stuff like that we've had to deal with. But the fact that we knew that we were together in it, and it was just unspoken that we were just going to work through it no matter what, that we were both committed. We're committed to the long term. And that's the other thing, you know, I think you need a commitment of is just to say, hey, these are my goals. We did sit down before we got married and we talked about what do we want out of life.
Absolutely. That's so critical.
We had that talk. Do not jump over that talk. It's very important.
Oh my gosh. I say that again for the people in the back.
Yes.
I mean, it's so important to make sure, even when your relationship is good and fun and healthy and you feel safe and this is an elevator person and there's no red flags, when you think about what do you want 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road, you need to make sure that you're aligned. Where are you with where you want to be? What are your philosophies on adult children, aging
right.
parents? Retirement, finances, right? And really talking about these things, which are different maybe than when you're getting married in your 20s and just two young people coming together and you don't have kids and you're like, the whole world's in front of me. But now the questions are different and making sure that
very
you're
much
aligned
so. Very
on
much
that
so.
Is so important. And part of that alignment comes with having that conversation first and foremost around after 3 months. Let's be exclusive with each other. We
right.
are partners. We are boyfriend. We are girlfriend. Give it a title, right?
Right?
And that's so important. And what does that mean? That means we're both off the apps. We're not seeing other people, right?
And that's what we do. We both deleted our profiles. That was the first time Curtis had completely deleted his profile over 13 years.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And he was divorced before?
He was
Is that
divorced.
Right? Yeah.
He had been single for 13 years.
Wow.
He had just not found anybody that just really was a good fit. And he had moved several times because he was working as a CFO and doing some consulting jobs and things like that. So, but he just never found anybody that he just really connected with. That he wanted to marry, let's put it that way.
Well, and this is the thing, you know, ladies and gentlemen, as you listen to this, sometimes we feel like, oh, I've seen that guy on the apps for 3 years or 5 years or 10 years, right? Here's Teresa's fantastic husband who was on the apps for 13 years because
right.
he hadn't found his lid, which was Teresa. So don't rule people out too quickly. The fact that, and maybe a good mindset shift is if you've seen somebody on the apps for a while, it means that this person just hasn't met the lid to their pot. It doesn't mean anything
right.
bad about that person.
Absolutely. Because, and they may be, and they're taking their time too. They're not just jumping into something. And I guess at the end of the day, the biggest takeaways for me were take your time, get to know people, have conversations through the app before you ever meet them, you know, ask some questions, you know, find out different things and just know it's a numbers game. It's not going to happen overnight. I got lucky. It did happen early for me, but that was unusual. But I think that's because I dated so many frogs before.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, and sometimes people listen to these episodes, you know, and even current clients, and they're like, oh my gosh, I've been doing smart dating for 3 years and I haven't met the person yet, right? I'm doing something wrong. The answer is you're
no.
doing nothing wrong. There's an element of God or the universe or whatever it is that's out there that says, you know what? I've punched you in the face enough. I'm going to make this one easy for you. And
right.
here comes the right person. So
right.
if you're listening to this and saying, well, it happened for her right away, you know, and you got lightning twice, two great husbands. Listen, love is out there for you. And that's
right.
the reason Teresa wanted to come on the podcast, right? We were talking about this. It's never too late to find love.
Never. And never give it up because I did. And then I realize now since Curtis and I found each other and got married, I was giving up the rest of my life. And now I have all these experiences. I have a life of joy and just it's exciting now again. And I feel like I'm in the human race again where before I felt like I just checked out.
You checked out and you figured it's like you kind of feel like, you know, you're like, not the living dead, but it's like that part of your life you just
kind of
put
was
in a
like
drawer.
that. It kind of was like that.
Right. And
just
like
marking time.
Right. Like, this is what's meant for me. And that's it. I'm done. And I'm going to walk the rest of my days alone. And that is not the case for any of you. And remember, we can become psychotic optimists, right? And say, love is out there for me. It's a when, it's not an if, even in the face of horrendous tragedy, right? It's love can come again. And whether you are listening to this and you've never found that person, whether you're listening to this and you've been divorced once or three times or four times, maybe you've lost a couple of different partners to tragedy. Remember, if you're listening to this, it tells me that there's that little bit of spark in you that believes that you're not washed up. Your chances of love aren't washed up. And Teresa and I are here to tell you, in violent agreement with you, love does exist for you.
It does. It does. For everybody, there is that one person out there that loves your craziness.
And he loves your craziness and you love his craziness.
I do. I totally do.
And like you said, marriage isn't always easy, but when you have a good marriage, you can navigate through, as you mentioned, the adult kid issues. Those aren't easy things. Aging parent things are not easy things when life throws an asteroid at us, right? Right. But when you're with the right person, you turn towards each other instead of away from each other, and you hold hands through it and say, we'll walk this hard thing together, which makes it easier.
It does. Totally. It's worth it.
Oh, well, Teresa, I couldn't be happier that you found the lid to your pot and your career is continuing to grow and thrive, as is Curtis's. And Lindsay and I just adore you to pieces. Is there any, you know, are there any gems, any advice you'd give somebody that's listening to this, kind of scratching their head going, I don't know, what should I do?
Don't give up. Keep trying and don't give up, because it's a process.
It's a process. Absolutely. And finding love is a numbers game. And there, you want to play those numbers smart. It's not about just playing numbers to play numbers, right? It's if you don't know what you were looking for, if you don't know how to pace things, if you don't know a process, right? Then that's where it's time to maybe consider getting some help around the process.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And I'm so glad that you chose us to have your journey with, and we couldn't be happier and more grateful to have had the privilege of helping you through the dating world.
Well, I was grateful for the support. I needed it.
Well, and what a happy ending. So, smart daters, I hope you've listened to this and said, wow, you know what? Life punched Teresa in the face and she changed things up, kind of found smart dating, started a different process, and there came the lid to her pot. So I hope you feel inspired about your own chances to find love. So keep doing what you're doing, or if you need a change, holler at us. We're happy to help you make that change. And until next week, Teresa, I thank you again for being so generous with your time and your story and inspiring. I'm inspired and just happy for having heard your story again. So thank you so much for being on with us.
Thank you, Bella. Take care.
You too, smart daters. Have a great week. And until we see you again, be inspired that the Curtis or the Teresa to your pot is out there, and keep giving it a go. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.